Well, good evening. Welcome back once again to One Step Beyond. I'm going to give you a rundown of what we're going to be listening to this evening, and we're going to begin by finishing up the December Surprise update. Now, the December Surprise is a scenario that I have presented to explain basically a number of events that I feel underlie the dismissal of conspiracy charges against Oliver North last January. My feeling is that the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 that I alluded to earlier basically mandated the dismissal of conspiracy charges against Oliver North, because some of the documents requested by Oliver North's defense team that President Reagan would not willingly surrender basically involved things connected to some of the people that were kicked around in connection, whose names were kicked around in connection with the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. With that incident, all of the documents relevant to counterterrorism and virtually all of the documents relevant to Iran-Contra had to do with counterterrorism, then became the most among the most important and secretive documents in the National Security Establishment's files or in their archives. Then, basically, they could not be released to Oliver North's defense team for national security reasons. This mandated, in my opinion, the dismissal of the charges against Oliver North. It was said that the failure to obtain the documents jeopardized his defense, but beyond that, the fact that these had to do with elements related to Pan Am Flight 103 was the reason why I think they could not be released for national security reasons. Basically, we're going to finish up with a discussion of the December Surprise update this evening. Now, it's a really complicated scenario, the December Surprise, so I'm not going to attempt to go into it in too much detail this evening. This will be contiguous with the original broadcast. I will just run it down in somewhat more detail than I have so far. Basically, we're going to begin the December Surprise, the beginning of the end of the December Surprise update with an article about Rudolph Giuliani, the former New York prosecutor now running for mayor of New York City on the Republican ticket. Now, Giuliani, in my opinion, played a key role in the December Surprise scenario by not only limiting the investigation into the fourth major investigation stemming from the Pizza Connection case. I'll talk about that in a little while. That was one of the events involved in the December Surprise. That intersects with the Iran-Contra scandal, and it not only threatened to blow up past that point, but once Giuliani announced that bust and limited the scope of it, basically a lot of mouths had to be closed, and a lot of potential evidence was kept from coming to view. Also, Rudy Giuliani was instrumental in helping to have charges dismissed against some defendants who were involved with shipping arms to Iran and who figure in the background not only of the arms shipments to Iran, but also the October Surprise scenario as well, notably Cyrus Hashemi. Giuliani was the prosecutor who brought charges against them. Many intelligence-related cases are thrown as a result of a weak prosecution. There were indications that that may have been the case with Rudolph Giuliani's prosecution of these individuals. Certainly he did not follow the Pizza Connection case as far as it might have gone. It does not appear as if he pursued the case against the associates of Cyrus Hashemi with the same degree of vigor as he might have otherwise. Rudolph Giuliani, in my opinion, was an inside fixer with regard to both the Pizza Connection case and the arms smuggling case, in which all of the defendants eventually walked. Again, that's my opinion, but I think the evidence points strongly in that direction. I asked the question at the time about whether the Republican nomination for the mayor's race there would be the political payoff for Rudolph Giuliani's loyal work with regard to the Iran-Contra scandal. He's not doing too well in the polls, but he is, in fact, now the Republican mayoralty candidate. Well, interestingly enough, after leaving as federal prosecutor, Rudolph Giuliani, and that came right after Pizza Connection 4 and the dismissal of charges against the arms smuggling suspects, he went to work for a law firm which has represented, done PR work for none other than Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega. Okay? Antonio Noriega, I should say. Anyway, the connections of Noriega, both to the Iran-Contra scandal and to that portion of the Iran-Contra scandal that we've talked about as the drug-tug Lenvest case, basically Noriega's a key player obviously, in the Iran-Contra scandal, as we've spoken about in the past and as we will touch on again this evening. And it's interesting to find Rudolph Giuliani going to work for a law firm that represented him. Obviously, in and of itself, not conclusive, but when taken in concert with all of the other pieces of information about Giuliani, about Noriega and company, it certainly is it's interesting and very possibly significant. Food for thought and grounds for further research. We're going to take a look at after that, we're going to take a look at This is the article I wanted to look at. Okay. After that, we're going to take a look at an article which appeared in today's Sunday San Francisco Examiner, which also relates to Mr. Noriega, and it has to do with a man named Michael Harari, who was working as an advisor to Noriega. We're going to talk about that and its significance for the Christic Institute. It's not directly related to the December surprise, but when I saw it in today's paper, I thought it would be a good thing to add to the broadcast. Then we're going to return again to the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. One of the people who died on Pan Am Flight 103 was a scientist, a young molecular biologist named Irving Siegel, spelled S-I-G-A-L. He had done a lot of key work in researching the protein code of the AIDS virus, the HIV virus, and he was working for the Merck pharmaceutical firm. He died in the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. And it's worth noting here that he was involved with a key element of AIDS research. We've speculated at great length in the past, and I think at this point the evidence points very strongly in the direction of AIDS as a biological warfare weapon. Specifically, AIDS is the application of genetic engineering to biological warfare. Now, we're going to take a look at the death of Mr. Irving Siegel and the Merck pharmaceutical firm, and wonder, basically, obviously we can't conclude anything, but wonder whether he's another of the individuals who appears to have been deliberately targeted on that bombing. As I will run down when we actually get into the meat of the discussion, there were a number of people who appear to have been deliberately targeted in the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. By the way, the December surprise is now incorporated into the archives as Radio Free America program number 35. Following that, we're going to take a look at an article which appeared in the sports section, interestingly enough, of the San Jose Mercury. One of the things that I only half tongue-in-cheek introduced the original December surprise broadcast by talking about concerned the fact that the same organized crime milieu which intersected with the Pizza Connection case, one of the people who appears to have been involved with Pizza Connection 4, also intersected with some organized crime figures who moved in the same circles as Eddie DiBartolo, the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm not saying Eddie DiBartolo is a mafioso, but what I'm saying is that what I said in the December surprise broadcast is that everybody's pays so much attention to sports, the 49ers, the World Series, what have you, although obviously the World Series has been eclipsed at this point, but people pay so much attention to things like the 49ers or the San Francisco Giants, and in fact, the things that they should be paying attention to, the things that could crush their lives, the factors that could crush their lives, as that piece of 880 crushed some lives, often intersect with the very things they're paying attention to. And again, I talked about some of the intersection between some of the same organized crime figures who figured in Pizza Connection 4, one of the major elements of the December surprise, and some of those figures also intersected with figures who were part of Eddie DiBartolo's circle, too. And again, my point is that what people are paying attention to and what they should be paying attention to are often connected, even though that may not seem that way. Interestingly enough, not too long after that, a book has been issued, or has been published. It was authored by Dan Moldea, who is a major organized crime investigator and author, and it's called Interference, and it deals with organized crime influence in professional football. One of the people mentioned is Eddie DiBartolo. And again, I'm not saying Eddie DiBartolo is a mafioso, neither is Dan Moldea, but I think he's noticed some of the same intersections that I have noticed, too, and he seems to be asking some of the same questions that I'm asking also. Again, a half tongue-in-cheek, but not altogether tongue-in-cheek, follow-up to the half tongue-in-cheek, but not altogether tongue-in-cheek introduction to the original December surprise. Then we're going to take a musical break after that. We're going to take a look at an interesting piece of background concerning Patrick Edward Purdy. I always called him Edward Patrick Purdy, but Patrick Edward Purdy, who's the fellow who shot up all of those school children in Stockton last January, and that incident served to spark a series of bills introduced around the country, both in state legislatures and at the federal level, to limit firearms and specifically assault rifles. We noted in the past Purdy's apparent intersection at some point with the Aryan Nation. He had their literature and appears to have been involved with some of their viewpoints at some point, and suggests that he has had contact with the group at some point, if only by way of indoctrination. Interestingly enough, we're going to take a look at an apparent connection between Patrick Purdy and the Unification Church of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. We're going to take a look also at the bizarre way he was acting and speculate about that. But it's interesting because the scenario that I had presented with Edward Patrick Purdy, or Patrick Edward Purdy, there I go again, is that he was under mind control, and that specifically this incident was a part of the form of terrorism that the late Mae Brussel referred to as the California violences. And again, I'm going to go into more detail when we actually get into the meat of the broadcast. And then we're going to take a look, interestingly, we're going to review a piece of information from an earlier broadcast, the fact that a quote, ex-CIA agent, was a newly ex-CIA agent, a fellow who had just resigned from the CIA, or retired, really, from the CIA, a fellow named Edwin Wells. This same, quote, ex-unquote CIA agent founded the two leading handgun control organizations in the country. He did that right after the firing, the so-called Saturday Night Massacre, the firing of Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. There was a very strong possibility of martial law at that stage of the game, and we're going to speculate about that as in by way of review. Then we're going to take a look at some information from a new book about who killed John Lennon. We're not going to go into it in too much detail, but we're going to look at a number of interesting points about this particular book, and about these particular points of information intersect with a number of things that we have spoken about in the past, and also that Mae Brussel has spoken about for a number of years, both concerning mind control and specifically about the assassination of John Lennon. We're going to take a look at author Fenton Bresler's hypothesis, and again, he doesn't absolutely conclude that Lennon was the victim of an assassination plot by our national security establishment. He feels that was probably the case, and he lays out his hypothesis. Again, sort of this whole book, it could be thought of as food for thought and grounds for further research, but he certainly does present some very thought-provoking information, and I think that the evidence definitely points along the direction that Bresler also feels it points in the direction. He feels that it points in the same direction. In any event, we're going to begin by taking a look at Bresler's hypothesis that Mark David Chapman, convicted of assassinating John Lennon, was brought into contact with the CIA and through the CIA into the mind control programs, but that specifically he worked with the CIA under the auspices of the YMCA, which, like a number of other Christian activist organizations, has been used by the CIA in the past. We're going to take a look, too, at some information provided to Fenton Bresler by Daniel Sheehan of the Christic Institute, in which he talks about people playing irregular roles as, quote, infantry, unquote, who are called upon to do jobs, unquote, obviously, in this case, assassins. And we're going to conclude by taking a look at a fascinating piece of information about John Lennon's work the week he was assassinated on behalf of a strike by employees of the Japan Food Corporation, a major firm marketing Japanese foods to Japanese citizens and Japanese Americans living in this country, and apparently they had treated their Oriental employees very badly, and there was a major labor dispute on, which was being the reactionary side of which was being financed by, among other corporations, Sumitomo and Mitsubishi, two giant Japanese firms with heavy interests in the United States. They also, interestingly enough, are two of the four zaibatsu, the so-called zaibatsu, the family trusts. There were four of them, which were the major elements in bringing fascism to Imperial Japan. They had major intersections with American capital at the time. They have major intersections with American capital today. And again, we're going to take a look at this fascinating piece of information and relate that to some other aspects of John Lennon's assassination. That's what we have on tap for this evening. So, tune in, and if at all possible, tape. By the way, One Step Beyond shows are available on a temporary basis from Archives on Audio, the tape duplication service that I told you about at the beginning of the broadcast. I'm going to give that name again at the end of the broadcast. Well, let me, before we take a musical break here and before I swing into the prepared portion, let me give you the address for the Napa Sentinel for the Drug Tug Len Vest case. Well, I'm going to be updating that next week, so more Drug Tug Len Vest information next week. I haven't had a chance to outline the latest articles that have come out. Harry Martin of the Napa Sentinel concluded the series, and then no sooner had he concluded it than he came upon still more information, so it is ongoing. It's a situation I can empathize with. It feels kind of like the Iran-Contra scandal, as a matter of fact. Keep adding on shows, an addendum, addenda here, there an addendum, everywhere an addendum, it seems, with so many of these archive shows. But the Napa Sentinel has been doing fantastic work on an aspect of the Iran-Contra scandal, an apparent drug smuggling operation being conducted by the intelligence community to finance the Contras. This particular case has more connections than a switchboard, as I would like to say. So far, Harry Martin of the Napa Sentinel, as well as yours truly, are practically the only people covering it, us and a Canadian television station. I've been encouraging people to generate as much publicity as possible about this particular case. Again, I haven't got time to go into it here. It's very complicated. I will sum it up next week as part of the update for this particular case, but here's a chance for people to get involved in a very direct way. Among the problems assailing the United States, of course, is cocaine use, and there's been an awful lot of evidence at this point, and still more of it appears to come from the Drug Tug Lenvest case, that an awful lot of that cocaine in this country is coming to you courtesy of the National Security Establishment. Here's a chance to get involved, and I've been encouraging people to contact their media outlets, contact their congressional representatives. At this point, obviously, in the Bay Area, the media are going to be taken up with the earthquake situation for quite some time. You might have, that doesn't mean you should abandon the chase by any means, but listeners might have better luck with media voices outside of the immediate Bay Area. You might try The Nation, you might try The Village Voice, in these times, publications of that type, and see. You know, also national publications, but I expect that with a lot of the larger national publications, there will be official censorship, as there often is with national security cases. But don't give up by any means, and one of the things that you can do is to send copies of the articles to some of these organizations, as well as contacting them by phone or letter. The Napa Sentinel has put together what I guess you could call a press kit, a collection of the relevant articles on the case. I'm going to give you the address and the phone number, and I can even give you the price, I think, since it is not a profit-making item. Anyway, I'm going to bend it ever so slightly, since there's no money being made on this. It just covers cost and shipping. I'm going to go ahead and give that. The Napa Sentinel is located at 925 Lincoln Avenue. That is in Napa, California. The zip code is 94558. 94558. The phone number is area code 707-257-6272, 257-6272, and send them a lucky $7. Again, they're not making money out of that. That's to cover the cost, and maybe they actually send you the edition. I don't know if they send you copies, but in any event, if you want the articles, that'll buy you the articles, and it'll also cover shipping costs as well. $7 to Napa Sentinel, 925 Lincoln Avenue, Napa, California, 94558, or phone 707-257-6272. Get involved and sow some seeds of democracy here in the Bay Area. I know this sounds corny to preach at you like that, but again, I don't want to see forces like that loosed in this world, and not in the world I'm living, not in the society I'm living in anyway. And there's nothing I can do about it by myself. You know, I need your help. So, you will do as I say. Please, do contact the Napa Sentinel. And do what you can. You know, I don't know how much time you've got. Maybe you've got a ruined house. But with whatever resources you have at your disposal, this is a tremendous opportunity. And with the developments vis-a-vis Panama and the National Security Establishment, and I'm going to talk about some things that have just gotten revealed today about the recent, quote, bungled, unquote, coup, and I think there may be much more to that than that, a simple bungling operation. We may not have too many more opportunities to do something concrete about this situation. I can't do anything about it by myself. I need your help. So please, 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 do what you can. Contact congressional representatives, media voices in particular, because until there's enough media exposure on this, obviously nothing is going to get done. I think the media are the key here. So basically, that is what you can do. People say, well, you know, what can I do about these issues? That's a common complaint. People call up and say, you know, well, I believe it, but, you know, I want to do something. It seems pretty hopeless, but what can I do? Here's a real good opportunity to do something. It's right here in the Bay Area. Its implications couldn't be exaggerated. And heck, you know, the forces of creation have dropped this into our laps. So occasionally things fall upon us that are good, as well as pieces of concrete from 880. Anyway, we're going to take another musical break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to launch into the prepared portion of tonight's One Step Beyond broadcast.